Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh, Episode 6. In this installment, Margot, Yogi and the two girls are on their way to Singapore. Leaving Adelaide on SIA, Margot sat with each young belle. On the window aisle marked HJK, she in the middle of Paul and Adele. Yogi sat in quarantine, booking late, center aisles had gone. The seating plan, a poker machine, had dealt three queens, while Loser Lemon was souring in 40G. Had stepfather Fate waved a hard wand against him joining the family? Away from Papa, the girls might bond, or so he'd hoped as the plane took off. Now, straitjacketed in a seat, he swallowed and suppressed a cough, climbing to 30,000 feet. He wanted to reach across the aisle, but fierce Pauline sat guarding Mum. Common sense thought, this is a trial. Kowtow Yogi to whatever may come. The Singapore girl floated in long attire with tongs and steaming towels wound tight as egg rolls, shuffled to and fro in a blue kebaya haute couture by Pierre Balmain. While Yogi drank tomato juice with a slice of lemon, she did the food tray sleight of hand, a pro who served his meal with practiced Asian meekness, soft before the mail as per 4 months of training. Margot's eyebrow rose peripherally, critical of the woman's French twist bun, a Chinese sweet thing with her learned deportment like the other lipstick hairdos on this flight, identical toenails, red in batik slippers, rosebud lips, shaped eyebrows, blue eyeshadow, the Asian face that launched 1,000 jets was a hot icon. She had read the piece still spread upon her multitasking lap. With feminist savvy, she shot a pointed glance as he lapped up this oriental study in soft cell manners, ready to fetch and carry. She saw the universal vulnerability of all the men that she had ever known, the way two husbands had been sirened off, adroitly snatched by girl civility. Like this charm offensive being coyly launched 5 miles above the earth. Who recruits who? Margot thought of the cleverness in the motto, Singapore girl, you're a great way to fly. Though silver birds are owned by corporate men who print the glossy Chris World in-flight spread with pics of her in Moscow, New York, London. Margot played her hand from the bag of tricks, packed in for her lepans, her rabbit still wide awake. They laughed at her, now stuck with the final card, yelling, "Old maid!" Yes, she had lost the game. "Old maid indeed," she smiled. "Young maids are dangerous." A chase of taxis around a tough metropolis. 25,000, 24 hours, week after week, they zip down express paradise flecked with purple orchids and flame trees fronting apartments into the CBD, detouring through incense lanes tight by Rocha Road, Collywood, Bollywood blaring through rainbow shop fronts, peddling elephant brass chunks of the subcontinent. Yogi is hunting for a budget bite of Little India to prepare Spice Girls for Big India coming later. King of the melodrama, his three queens in the back are leaning into a corner. He sees the blue neon flashing Madras Hotel above its bitumen side street. "This is the one?" he asks. "Correct," says the driver. Later on, they went to walk and eat in Little India's crowded rice plate lanes. No McDonald's close to take the strain with a happy meal of planetary junk. "Do we have to?" the mosquito whined. "You just can't hide out in the hotel room," she said. Come and see the place, though knew their stability was wobbly. She believed it was for their own damn good, but was it? Or are adults expedient and selfish? Overbearing, Yogi was ripe for failure. He had no currency with the crotchety, irritable as a rash of prickly heat, intemperate in these tropics, and naively led them to dollops of rice and dal and pickles slapped messily upon banana leaves. Pure ignorance of the over-righteous, hoped novelty would wolf down spiciness. Forgetting in his own childhood, he was dumb and mute before the god of simple tucker that kids adore, their likes and dislikes kept apart as mainland mashed potato from offshore carrots to the archipelago of peas. Margot had no appetite to see cold war between her lovely three. "Oh, why don't you take a stroll? I'll take him back," she said. So he walked off, disheartened that their trip had stalled, and now his sense of lack hit home. Each moment seemed like mortal combat, and he had wanted it so not to be. But they pushed him back like some stray cat or the cuckoo in their nest on the family tree. He was here to steal their mum, a vulture with gurus, gods, and weird name of Yogi, forgetting mum had dragged them first to yoga. Now, breathing in the durian-scented air, he soared ahead to the parrot fortune-teller. Could he divine his luck with childcare? The Tamil, in his dhoti, at a table, told famous money, rose-ringed parakeet, to come out through his trapdoor. The green bird stepped back and forth jauntily until the divination moment fell, just as it had, predicting World Cup teams for years, 50-50 between two mini flags. Spread out choices? There were 68 Bhagavad Gita cards. The bird was troubled, indecisive as Arjuna, who once sat in a pacifist funk between two warring armies of Pandava brothers and Kaurava cousins, imploring Krishna to enlighten him. Why should he kill his jealous siblings? Why? This lime-green hamlet, with no heart for action, bird-brained to options just as Yogi was, stepped back and forth, but then cantilevered a card with beak and tongue, bringing it to the Tamil seated sideways to divine more. He flipped the thing. It showed two warriors with golden gaddas ready to club each other into the underworld. Below, there was a verse in Devanagari from the Bhagavad Gita spoken by Sri Krishna. A man's own self can be his own best friend, and a man's own thinking is his own worst foe. And so, the cartomancy bird had chosen. Your destiny is lodged inside your skull, Yogi self-chided. Ridiculous to let two little girls unseat him from the chariot. Then the parakeet stepped up again and took another card. Hey, what you doing, money? Not usual, sir, the Tamil said. He picks just one, but for you tonight, another. What's it mean? Probed Yogi, flipping it, showed Krishna with his lovely consort Radha. But the card was love reversed, quite inauspicious. The Tamil thumbed his Gita commentaries. When the bird picks this, he said, it means love's end. In the Gita, it is also written, death is sure as birth finds death. Do not grieve for the inevitable. Love and death. He felt his stomach tighten. Would his marriage fall flat upon its face? Could he learn to live with three, not one? And had it all not been a bit too whirlwind? A dark sense crept on icily up his spine. He'd done with parrot astrology for tonight. Neither did the Indian like the augury. No charge, sir, for money second card. Yogi threw $5 down. The bird retreated through his wooden trapdoor with it. What you doing, bird? The Tamil scolded and reached inside to take, only to earn a nasty shock in the Sarangun evening, as the green bird bit right through the black man's thumb. Pain starts his career path early on. She traced its pattern thread by thread, sewn now to her sides like angel wings. Her girls clung close upon the bedspread. They slept safe on the quilt of heaven with a golden shine, but beneath cold dread of losing their mother to another, the silk of love is sewn blood red. In time, she might cross-weave him in. Embroidery starts inside one's head with delicacy, tact, firm fingers, care. To lead, this dad must learn to be led through the needle's eye, the child's ear, and whisper as to a thoroughbred. He was failing in his mission to reach morning. His head a room of dirty sounds echoed along Serangoon asphalt. Spicy sour, the lock-up Rollador midnight rattled still inside his skull. One dogged train of thought had kept its stray mutt's nose in cabbage scraps and bitter winter melon mashed by bicycles upon the street verge. There, the grocery stall had plied its long sing dollar yesterday, and turning rotten as black bananas left fly-blown fingers clinging to a wall hook. Their stink repelled, so he had skipped ahead, escaping inside the next emporium, stacked with knick-knacks, deities from Chennai, racks of incense, Tamil, pop CDs, cheap editions, astrology and vastu. And there had been those divination cards, each with a guidebook, Gita, vacuum-sealed. The on-sale mountain teetered on the table, ascending stack by stack a Hindu temple. A thought of tempting fate had risen up, as if he'd heard the call of Krishna's conch. He bought the book instead and left the shop. Yogi tossed upon the tropical surface, unable to sleep or wake. The ceiling fan rotated sticky air. His subconscious brought the nonsense rose ring parakeet, sharp-beaked, blunt-tongued with fortune cards, psychic spill and death. The futures bird had danced a weird two-step to kick him out of this hotel room of proxy parenting, a female power enclave. Camping there, on the one-man creaking cot, told him that this honeymoon was a sexless lockout. Today and one more night in Singapore. It was time to do kid stuff or risk a palace revolution. There is the zoo, the bird park, or Sentosa Island, said Margot. She was looking at brochures from the hotel lobby table. The technology centre also might be fun, Yogi said, trying to be helpful. Ignoring the fact the girls were lying in bed, he burbled on. It might be less a freakout, more familiar, plus air-conditioned. Skipping hot-button words like Indian, Chinese, Asian, because the girls were ear-plugged by peer disapproval and their papas. Which then, she asked, turning to Adele, the silent one. This younger sidekick of Big Sister sought support. Their alliance was a travelling knee-teepee up underneath the covers, where they had hidden out since midnight with pillows for protection, despite humidity, keeping adults out with giggles glancing back and forth. Neither was talking. He was the looming elephant in the room, unlike that mini-mastodon in teak inlaid with mirror-work beside the ashtray. "Well," said Margot, mind reader in the middle, knowing her bell full well, a sibling's fears. "Oh, come on, Dell, we haven't got all day." The sisters did their own telepathy. Finally pressed, she just said, "I don't know." They chose the Grand Tour Singapore, three up front with Yogi trailing after, to chic metropoles on a transit card. Raffles, Nian City, Great World City, City Link, and Suntec City Mall for underground and high-rise freebie miles, ice-creaming through the catacombs of slick, ogling, girly, hair-thing bargain bins where dudes of tood hung out to validate Franchise Island's global shopping shit. Vuitton, Escada, Gucci, FC UK, each chic rag, suit, bag, belt, clock, sock and shoe, Parfumerie Dior, trench coat, Burberry, having their fling with sick, delicious bling, playing the game of Generation Y in low sperm count Narcissus Paradise, where heaven is reachable by MRT. The shuttle bus off to Planet Hollywood showed another brand, its Asian version, eager to understudy glam, with Singapore as the millennial babe city lost in space. Generation Me speaks globally. Paul and Adele were pigs in rainbow muck, fast food tongues and coke brain cells, now sated. Then old MacDonald took a duck tour, E-I-E-I-O. Amphibian Warcraft After Makeover, E-I-E-I-O. With a duck tour here and a duck tour there, here a duck, there a duck, everywhere a tourist fucked. Old MacDonald had a duck tour, E-I-E-I-O. Splashing into Singapore River, a concrete Venice for tourist chappy, their motor duck was slow to deliver. At least the girls were tail up happy. Emerging from the Kallang Basin, they motored back to Suntec City. 1 hour later, time to hasten. They fed the girls at KFC. Then cabbed on to Sentosa Island, where pink dolphins bless the lagoon, by Pearly Beach and Party Clubland, where disco balls outshine the moon. Time for a cab. The girls were tired, dozing now. They were sitting pretty, passing 10 disco pedicabs hired by Japanese tourists from Kobe City. When they reached the Madras Hotel, the deadweight girls were now compliant. He lugged floppy doll Adele and earned dad thrill as the jolly giant. Upstairs, all took a power snooze, undoing each kilometre from the mall map and duck to a trap. Tonight's last jaunt, a puppet theatre. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. Check out my website at chrismooneysingh.com and join me next week for another episode. See you then.